not apologize for the presence of the Lord that is in this place. This is who we are. This is who we are. We are a Book of Acts church. We are not a religious church. We're not tied to a tradition of men. That's what that means. We just want the Spirit of the Lord to move. The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not program. Thank you. But it's a liberty that allows you to rejoice. It allows you to praise the Lord. It allows you to magnify Him. Amen. And I will tell you that I have a passion for the things of the kingdom. I want to see what God will do. Every time we walk into this place, God does something great. Every time. Even in our Wednesday night Bible study classes. Next week, I'm starting a new series. It's called What Time Is It? If any of you saw the graphic, it is a clock without hands, because we're going to talk about what the hands are. We're going to talk about the cycle. We're going to talk about the season that we've entered into. We're going to talk about some of the things that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, some of the things that Daniel said. I'm not going to teach prophecy or revelation or things like that, but I want to incorporate what we're seeing happening in our midst right now in this time, and how it equates to the timings of the Lord. We use a 24-hour reference, a 12-hour clock with a 24-hour reference from midnight to midnight. And the Lord doesn't use that type of a clock. He uses a different type of clock. So we're going to open the Word of God, and we're going to talk about that. And I think that God's going to really speak to the church, and you're going to learn things you've never learned before that in the Word of God, and it's going to be a revelation to you. And you, again, just going way back, it reminds you that you cannot operate in what you do not know or understand. Which is why traditions in Christianity exist today, because if you don't understand something, you have to create a formula for that. And it's not spirit-led, right? It's formulaic. And so you have to be careful with that. But if God will reveal it to His people, then you can operate in it. Now, the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. There isn't anything new. But that doesn't mean we know everything that's under the sun. How many of you have a Bible and that you read it every year, and every year something new pops out to you? I've read that 1,000 times and it's never, you know, you probably literally never read it 1,000 times. Maybe you have, but wow, that's something I never saw before. So you have to allow the now word to speak into you. And that means that you have to be prayed up, and you have to be welcome the Lord into your midst. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Caitlin. She got up at 5 this morning, drove all the way across the state to be with us here, her and her family. And thank you for that sacrifice, but appreciate that. Let's see here. Who do we have here? Who could I pick on today? Oh, Brother Miller. Brother Miller, he's a great guy. Come here, Brother Miller. I'll pick on Brother Miller, since you can thank Brother Lambert later. Amen. So I'm going to teach you, what was the first word that you, come on up here. What's the first word that you said when you were a baby? What's the first word you spoke? Did your mom ever tell you? Huh? What do you think it was? Mom. Okay, Mom. Come over here. All right, so I'm going to teach you a new word, okay? So I'm going to teach you a new word. These are two words, Om and Ob.
Ob.
Om and Ob.
Om and Ob.
Yeah. Om and Om and Om and Om and Om.
Om and Om and Om.
Om, what do you think Om means?
Money.
Money? Is that what's on your heart right now?
No.
Lord Jesus. Lord, give him increase in Jesus' name. Amen. And I don't say that lightly. I mean that. Amen. Om means mother. So what do you think Ab is?
Father.
Yeah. You know why? Go back to Sister Miller right now and say Happy Alms Day. Or you can do it from right here.
Happy Alms Day.
Okay, we'll continue this on Father's Day, okay? Okay, all right. Thank you. All right. Happy Alms Day. So if your wife is in here and she's a mother, or if there's somebody sitting by you that's a mother, turn to them and say Happy Alms Day. So Alm is the Hebrew word for mother. It is one of the very first words that was taught to Hebrew children. Ab, Am, and Ab. Think about that. How easy of a word is that to pronounce? It's pretty simple. You know, my theory on this, and this is not biblical theological theory, this is Eric Hall's warped mind theory, is that when you have babies like Hayden, we have him back there, raise him up real high, show us that beautiful little handsome fella. Is he making syllables yet? Is he? See, right there, he just said, mom, 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 mom. You fell into that perfect. So the littlest Blanton already knows how to say mom in Hebrew. All right? So So that's in mother in Hebrew, the words are am and for dad, it's ab. And they're simply easy sounds for infant lips to speak. Like we use today, mom and dad. I think it's a little easier to say ab and ab. Or, as Bill was saying, phenomena. The Bible says in Isaiah 8:4 that before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, my am and my ab and my am. How simple is that? So moms are very important in the Bible. And I'm going to make a lot of men upset today. So I just want to tell you here quickly. Mothers are biblically, and this is biblically speaking, mothers are endowed with an all-powerful control over their children. All-powerful control over their children. Dad, mom has all-powerful control over their children. In biblical times, this is seen in different situations in the Word of God, which I'm going to read to you here in just a moment. So, moms were a very powerful figure in the lives of children. And that's endured throughout time. I know that mom says, wait till your father gets home, right? They're not afraid of dad coming home. They're afraid of mom telling dad what they did when dad gets home. So who are they really afraid of? They're afraid of mom and what mom has to say and what mom's going to speak. When Napoleon Bonaparte asked Madame Capam what the French nation most needed during his reign, she replied one word, mothers. The nation needs mothers. We need mothers that will mother, that will be mothers today. The church needs mothers to set the example of what a mother is. We live in a time of distraction and division. We are in a divided land. It's no longer left and right. It's left, extreme left, right, extreme right, and then there's the center. It's in politics. So, you know, now you have so much division. There's so much distraction and so many different things that could pull us in certain and different directions. And we struggle today as people to figure out what is the right way to lead our family. And what is the right things to do with our home? And I will say to both mom and dad, Am and Ab, that your goal, your priority, is to teach your kids to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then after that, to love your neighbor. Those are the two greatest commandments, and everything is hinged on those two things. And if you'll do that, you'll seek him. And it won't be just at church, but it will be all the time. When you're out playing ball with your friends, you're going to still be who you are that in the kingdom. It's not going to change you. You're going to change the climate that you're in. You're not going to allow the climate to change you. Somebody say amen. Webster's Revised Unabridged Dictionary says a mom is a female parent. That's pretty lame, if you ask me. One of the human race, that's pretty lame. A woman who has born a child, All right, we get that. But we have mothers that never bore us. We have mothers that never gave birth to us. And their very purpose. It goes on, very important. It goes on to say that it's a old woman or a matron, a matriarch. I like this one. a female superior or head. Here's a good one. This is in Webster's Dictionary, number 5. Used as a mother. A mother is hysteria. Hysterical passion. I remember when my brother got hit on his bike, my mom had a hysterical, passionate reaction, so much that I would not allow her to have the keys. I was 16 years old, and so I had to drive her. I wouldn't let her drive. I was a really hard son, I guess. A mother adopts, and a mother is adopted to perform the duties of a mother. Webster's also says that a mother is thick in matters. It is a thickener. It is also like vinegar. Moms, you are like vinegar. Isn't that great? Somebody needs to call Webster Dictionary as soon as we get out of here and tell them to rewrite this stuff, because that's not really what moms are. I thought about this morning. I never get to see my mother on Mother's Day because they pastor in Ohio and Melissa and I pastor here in Indiana. I have no idea where I'd be without my mom and the things that she has blessed me with. My mom was not the disciplinarian of our home, thank the Lord. My dad was. And the good thing about that was mom was always home and dad was always at work and then pastoring the church, and now he's full time. And so what that meant is I never got whoopings until dad decided he had to whoop me. When I was 5 years old, I would come to church, and we had the old wooden benches, and we were in one of those old traditional style church houses. And what I would do is, mom, I don't know why they never figured this out, they should have moved up, that's what they get for sitting on the back rows, is I would get under the pew and I'd lay on my back. Of course, it was a hardwood floor too. I'd find the brace under the pew and I'd just pull myself and I'd slide all the way to the front, and then I'd turn around and I would do it again, and then I'd do it again. There's two things you see under pews, two things. What's the first one that comes to mind? Gum, right? What's the second one? Thank God for holy ladies that wore hose. You just leave that there for a while. You'll figure it out later. So at 5 years old, that was my universe. So every night when I went home, I got whipped. Every night. I was the most disruptive. So now you know why I'm so enduring of our children having liberty in the house of the Lord. Because I don't want them to go home and get whipped like I was. It was a bad childhood. I'm kidding. It was great. Mothers had an incredible position in the Old Testament. And I want to share with you a couple of things, then I'm going to talk to you about Deborah for a few minutes. And that'll be enough to, I'm going to intentionally bore you to death so that when Sister Hall speaks, you feel like, man, those are words of fire. I'm just kidding. She can out-preach me. She's amazing. All right. So mothers had an incredible position in their families, in the homes. You can read about the Proverbs woman. How important that she was. And she was a very wise woman. She knew how to make crafts and sell crafts. She knew how to bring an income into her house. She knew how to manage the affairs of her house. There was a lot of things she has done. Isn't it amazing as mothers that you have raised a family when you were young, and now that you're old, it seems like you're raising the family again. Isn't that right? I mean, doesn't it feel that way? It really does. It really does. You know what that means? It doesn't mean that you did a bad job. That means that you're so much in need. We need you. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grand, they need you so much. The Bible says, and it talks about the mom, it says in one place in the law, the mother is even placed before the father as the object of a familial reverence. That's in Leviticus 19:3. That the mom was to be reverenced before the dad. The psalmist depicts deepest grief as that one who mourneth for his mother. And then the entire book of Proverbs, the duty of reverence, love, and obedience of their sons to their mothers is unceasingly inculcated. The greatest comfort imaginable is that wherewith a mother comforts her son. Moms, you comfort your sons, Isaiah 66:13. And then in the New Testament, things don't change. The mom is still lifted high and esteemed. And I believe that moms were actually lifted to a higher plane in the New Testament because this is where God chose a means to enter this earth. And the method that he chose was to be conceived of by the Holy Ghost and to be born by a woman, a mother. Now think about this. You have to get this because this is huge. And I know I'm being very quiet and you're not used to this and you're wondering what's wrong with Brother Hall. Is he sick? Is there something wrong? Just stay with me, all right? Think about this. When Adam was made, God took the woman out of the man. When Jesus came, the second Adam, he came by way of the woman. Chew on that one for a little while. Take it home with you and study it. So when Jesus came, it was the reverse. It was the opposite. And he was born of a woman, and that woman was gifted with the responsibility to raise this God-man, who at this time was a God-child, to be the man that he would become on the earth. And what a very special moment. Now, I'm not lifting Mary up into God-like status, but the Bible gives us the way that Jesus treated his mom and the way that he looked at her. One of the last things he did before he died was to make sure that his mother would be taken care of. When he looked at John and Mary and he said, "Behold thy son, son, behold thy mother," you got to take care of each other, okay? You got to take care of each other. So it was important that to Jesus that his earthly mother was taken care of. And then we go to the day of Pentecost and a new mother comes on the scene, and that is the church. It is the church. The church becomes the mother. And in the church, we see the raising up of great women of God. And I do believe that the women of God have a place in the church and they should be utilized. They should be utilized in the fivefold ministry. They should be utilized in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They should be utilized. We're not going to do anything that's going to hinder the work of the Lord, because in the Bible, the Lord used mothers to do incredible things. Now, I want to share this with you, and this is really incredible. I love this. In 1 Kings, it talks about moms, and then we get into the description of Solomon. Solomon is born, and Solomon has a mom, and the mom that Solomon has is Bathsheba. Now, you can remember that Bathsheba is the one that David saw bathing herself and said, "Hey, I want that woman." He brought her into the family, and they have a son, and that son dies, and then they have another son, the son of Solomon. And so Solomon comes along, and I want to share some scripture with you about the importance of moms. Solomon is what? He's the wisest king that ever lived. He brought more prosperity to Jerusalem, Israel, than any other king had done. We still speak of him today in those regards. He wrote most of the Proverbs. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes that are in our Bible that we read. He wrote the Song of Solomon. These are the books that he wrote. And so he is this wise, incredible man whom God gifted with this wisdom and with this authority. And you would think that there would be nobody in his life that would have more authority or power over him than God, that God would be the only one. But I want to share some things with you here real quick. So there is this idea of a mother who is a queen mother. And I'm not talking about the UK and Queen Elizabeth, although that's all stuff's pretty cool to me. But what it really means is it means the mother of the king. And you can find this in 1 Kings 11:19, Daniel 5:10, and then we'll see it played out. It stands to reason that among a people whose rulers who need a king, that the mother of the new king or the chief at once becomes a person of great consequence. The records of the Book of Kings prove this. The queen mom, the mom of the king, occupied a position of high social and political importance, and she took rank almost with the king. So when Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, decided to, and this is what's written in 1 Kings 2:19, to speak with Adonijah, her son rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a throne to be set up for the king's mother. And where did she sit? On the right hand. She sits on the right. What does that mean? Yeah, it deals with power. Anytime that you see the right hand, it's symbolic of power and authority. So when Solomon says, my mom's coming to see me, we're going to talk. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to set up another throne beside mine, and let's put it on the right hand side. In other words, mom has power and authority with this great King Solomon. And power, ranks are very important. Order is very important. And this is Solomon submitting himself to the mom, the mother in his life. All of you have a mom. You have to listen to this right now. There will never be anybody greater in your life, a greater influence in your life than the woman who raised you. You have a connection with that woman that you'll never have with your dad. Because there are things that your dad just is not equipped with to nurture you physically, right? There are things that your dad is not capable of doing when it comes to intuition, when it comes to their children. I remember my dad telling me that when his brothers, my dad was drafted but could not go in Vietnam because he had only one eye and so he was not allowed to serve. But my uncles went, and my dad said when he was at home, he would hear his mother up in her bedroom crying out in the Holy Ghost, just praying and asking God to keep her sons alive and to bring them home. And I'm sure there were a lot of mothers that did that, and I believe that God answered that mother's prayer. God will listen to a mother's prayer. God will listen to what the mom says. Why? Because there is a prophetic spirit that is upon the mothers. There is a prophetic spirit that is upon the moms. So Judges chapter 4 verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan. Let's go to verse 3. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. So here are the children are being oppressed. They're being oppressed. But look at verse 4. Here's a woman, a mom. And Deborah, a prophetess, everybody say a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at this time. Now I want you to go to Judges chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, and I want to show you what Deborah is doing here. And can we get there? Here we go. So Deborah is then Deborah sang, and she starts to sing, and she starts getting ready to take Israel into battle, and things are happening. It's moving very quickly. Jump down to verse 7. I just want to jump down to verse 7 real quick. There we go. Go back, verse 6. There you go. So in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. Verse 7, the inhabitants of the villages ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. I got up. Something had to be done. That I arose what? a mother. In verse 4, or chapter 4, it said she was what? A prophetess. Now in chapter 5, it says that she is a mother. So we see three different types, or there's a third one, judge. So she rose as a judge, she rose as a mother, and she rose as a prophetess. This was a very powerful woman in her day. And she dealt with a people who had brought 20 years of violence against her own people. And so it was a mother that was called upon to deal with these situations. As a prophetess in the Old Testament, Deborah led Israel through some tough times. And some have suggested that Deborah only led in the absence of male leadership. But that assessment does not agree with the biblical record. There were male leadership. There were men that were leaders. But it was just Deborah's time. It was her moment. God had called her for such a time as this. So Deborah was a prophetess and a judge who was in effect leading Israel at the time. So the book of Judges says village life in Israel ceased. And it ceased until Deborah arose a mother in Israel. Something had to change. And it was going to take a mom that was going to turn this situation upside down. We're not talking about bullying. We're not talking about isolated incident. We're talking about 900 chariots coming down and killing, murdering, and maiming people. And so this woman arises, a mother, one of the mothers, a mother in Israel. Now think about that. How is it possible that an inferior covenant, the old covenant of the Old Testament that Deborah lived under, provided such an opportunity for her to arise? And we have to go back to what I said earlier, is that when we look at the law in Leviticus, that the mom had the superior position when it come to the honor of the family. Somebody say amen. And so she broke through a ceiling of misinterpretation and misinformation. She broke through a ceiling of what I would call kingdom suffrage. And there's others that broke through this human religious kingdom suffrage. We look at Miriam in Exodus chapter 15 and 20. Miriam, the Bible says, and Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances, and they were celebrating. So here the Bible is calling Miriam a prophetess. Then we look at 2 Kings 22. So Hilkiah, the priest of Ahiakim, and Akbar, and Shaphan, and Azariah went unto Huldah, the prophetess. Huldah is another woman. She's the wife of Shulam. Like that means any. We all know who Shulam is, right? But she is noted as a prophetess. I know who she is. Do you? I'll leave it there. All right. She arose as a prophetess. So here's another woman. Then we look in Isaiah 8, chapter 8, verses 3 through 4. And Isaiah went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. And then the Lord said, I want you to give him a certain name, and this child shall have knowledge to cry. My father, my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away, the king of Assyria. Amen. You're going to go and go unto this prophetess, and she'll conceive. And so the Bible is listing different women to be different things. And we look first at Deborah. She's first a mother, but the Bible says she's a prophetess. Huldah is a wife mother who is a prophetess. Isaiah's wife was first a mother, but also a prophetess. And in the New Testament, we find another mother who is a prophetess. In Luke chapter 2, amen. The first prophetess named in the New Testament is Anna, and she was very old when Jesus was born. And she prophesied over him right after his birth. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel and the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years which departed. Watch this. This is what this mother did. She would not depart from the temple, but she served God with fastings, prayers, day and night. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And she arose as a mother. She was a prophetess. And what did she do? She brought and spoke redemption to people. Elizabeth, the wife of Zacharias and the mother of John the Baptizer, in Luke chapter 1, prophesied. Mary, the mother of Jesus, though neither of them were specifically termed prophetesses, they prophesied. They're all mothers. And here's what I want to get to. Here's what the kingdom of God needs. It needs moms, but it needs moms who are led of the Spirit. It needs mothers who are connected to the Holy Ghost. It needs moms that can tap in to the supernatural and pray down the presence of God upon their families. And listen to me, moms. It seems like you get the back seat a lot of times, and the kids get the glory, and the dad gets the glory, and everybody else, and you're working. You're working a job and coming home and making dinner, and you feel like you're unthankful. Listen to me. God has not forsaken you. He's not forgot about you. What you have to understand is you got a power with God that a lot of people don't have. And mom, if you'll tap into that and you allow God to raise you up as the prophetess that is in you, you're going to see incredible things come upon your family. As a prophetess, you're going to be able to discern things about your children that nobody else can. I look back on my mother and my mom. God would give her dreams, and she would come to me and she'd say, "Son, don't go down that road. God has showed me what's at the end of that road. And if you go down that road, you're going to find yourself in a mess." My mother had no idea that she would describe to me the exact same things where I was at as a teenager. And she spoke into me. How did she do it? Because she was tapped into the Holy Ghost. And God was revealing things to her about her children. But she didn't set on it. She utilized it. And every mom that is in this place that is filled with the Holy Ghost, you got to know that God's going to speak to you about your children. Sometimes he's going to say they're going to make it. Sometimes they're going to say, God's going to say, just hold on. Just be patient. But God, it's been 5 years. I told you what I was going to do. You stay with it. Don't you give up. You maintain hope. There's a promise that I have for you. And mom will cling to it and not let it go and hold on to it. And eventually the son comes home. Eventually the daughter comes home. Eventually, the husband comes home. Eventually, the relationship is repaired. Eventually, things are turned around. The finances are made whole. The body's made whole. The mind is made whole. Why? Because God showed it to mom, and mom would not let it go. Are there some mothers in this place who can grab hold of what I'm talking about right now? And will say, what God has put in me, I will never let it go. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to let it flee from me. But I've got a hope that's enduring. I got a mind that's unwavering. I got a faith that's not ceasing. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray until there is a breakthrough. And the Bible says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Whether it be me as your pastor, or whether it be Sister Hall as your pastor in this church, irregardless of how you feel, I don't care if you accept it or you don't accept it. It don't matter with God, because if he's going to speak through me, he'll touch you if you obey it. And if you let her, and if God speaks through her, it's going to touch you if you allow yourself to receive it. Somebody say amen. Because, man, I feel like preaching now.
Because God is no respecter of persons. It don't matter what hole you crawled out of. It don't matter what kind of clothes you can afford or what type of vehicle you drive. Come on, somebody. It don't matter if you're old or you're young. It don't matter if you're 99 or 2 years old. It don't matter. God can speak through a donkey. And if he wants to speak through, hallelujah, your pastor, your pastor's wife, if he wants to speak through our assistant pastor, if he wants to speak through Sister Mauser, it don't matter. We need to heed what thus saith the Lord God. I want to deal with this right now. I want to deal with this right now. Listen to your pastor. Listen to your pastor. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Because there's breakthrough that's going to happen in your life. When we stop disrespecting each other based on religious traditions, when we can get that garbage out of the way and we can say, God, I just want to hear your voice. I don't care where it comes from. When you reject the voice of the Lord, you're not rejecting the person. You're rejecting the voice of the Lord. So, my God, I've been in churches and I have preached and I've seen God do great miracles. I've seen God fill hundreds with the Holy Ghost. I've seen hundreds get baptized. I've seen that many places. But there are places that I have been that I've been so uncomfortable that I know that there's not going to be a mighty move of God, because I know that there will be a resistance to what the Lord wants to do in that place. And I look to God and I say, God, you got to help me with this. And the Lord always responds and says, they ain't rejecting you, Eric. They're rejecting me. Don't you worry about it. I got this. This is all me, because they asked for me to come speak, and I'm trying to speak, but they won't hear it. They won't listen. So there's no mighty works that I can do there. Somebody say amen. And so I've allowed God just to do what God wants to do, and it don't matter where I go, whether they receive me or whether they reject me. But I do know this, that when people will receive the word of the Lord, no matter what mouthpiece it comes through, there will be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the midst, and there won't be any denying of what God is doing in the house. Brother Lambert, when you get up here and preach, I subject myself to your ministry and I take notes, because I know that God's going to use you to speak to me. Brother Mauser, when you come up here and you preach, I take notes, I listen, I'm holding on to every word that you say, because I know God is using you and I want you to speak, I want God to speak to me through you. It don't matter who it is that graces this platform or walks behind this pulpit. I hang on every word. I'm not going to respect who it is. I'm going to listen to every word as if it's the very words of God. And I want God to speak. Sometimes we need a Samson. I said sometimes we need a Samson. But sometimes we need a Deborah. Sometimes, my God. Sometimes we need a David. Sometimes we need a Moses. Sometimes we need a Peter or a Paul. But sometimes we need to hear another voice that's a little bit different, that has a different walk, that has a different understanding of life, because there is a difference between me and my sisters. They see the world differently. They walk it differently. I want to crush everything. Tim Hawkins got it right. When a little boy sees a little girl he loves, he picks up a rock and throws it at her. That's mine. That's the way men see the world. Snakes and snails and puppy dog tails. And Sister Holly, you need to move in to the realm of sugar and spice and everything nice, and you won't get bit. Oh, you're being stereotypical now. You're trying to put people in different... No. What I'm saying is, ladies, you got something I ain't got. There's a place in God that you can go that I can't go. But there's a place in God that I can go you can't go. So I want to hear the voice. I want to hear the voice of the different minds and the different hearts as they can hear God reflecting off of them as if they're a certain type of mirror. I want to hear what thus saith the Lord. I know I'm supposed to shut up now and give this up to Mother's Day, but I feel the Holy Ghost, and I need to tell this church, you're going to have to break out of this religious mold. You're going to have to let tradition die. You're going to have to let these things leave. You're going to have to let these things go out the door. Amen. Let God speak to us. It don't matter who it is or what it is. Let God speak to us. Let the prophetesses speak the words of God into the church. The church is a mother, and the church needs to be prophetic. But in order for the church to be prophetic, it needs prophetic mothers. It needs moms to be moved on by a spirit of discernment. I want to share with you a little secret. I get a lot of communication throughout the day. I'm just about ready to close. I'll get it from different people. And many of you know who you are that are here. Some aren't here today. They're on the road with their kids. We got a lot of folks on the road today. Check this out. Very rarely do I get Brother Mauser sending me a text, thus saith the Lord. I do sometimes. Same with Brother Lambert. Thus saith the Lord. Very rarely. I do sometimes. It's not often. But there's not a day that doesn't go by that one of the ladies of our church, I was in prayer today, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon me. I got to share with you what was going on. Can I tell all you ladies, why don't you just come out of the shadows? Because I'm pulling the rug off. I'm opening the door, whatever. I'm shining the light, whatever other cliche. It's you're not, you don't, I need to hide anymore. It's time. It's time for the Deborahs. It's time for the Deborahs to be used of the Lord in the kingdom of God. I'm not tearing down order. I'm not tearing down structure. I'm not tearing any of those things down. But there needs to be a releasing. There needs to be a releasing of the gifts of the Spirit. There needs to be a releasing of the operation of the Holy Ghost to be in order with the kingdom of God. There needs to be a moving of the Holy Ghost upon this church by way of our mothers. I'm almost done. You think about Timothy. What of his mother? When Paul addressed Timothy, he reminded him of his grandmother's walk and his mother's walk. And he dialed in on the unfeigned faith. In other words, faith lived out loud. In other words, I'm not going to live in the shadow. I'm gonna speak it. I'm gonna look at it and I'm gonna speak it. And mom, you gotta put that in your children. There's gotta be some things as God reveals it to you that you put into your children. There arose a mother. There arose a mother. There arose a mother. You know why it's harder for ladies to step into that realm? I'm going off the tracks here, so you can fire me later. You know why it's harder for ladies to operate in that realm or to come out of the shadows? Men don't deal with insecurities. We do sometimes. It's very rare. But if you ever go to a concert or you ever go to somewhere, a man will just get up and walk right in front of you down the row. They don't care. You know, Eric, watch Eric in service. If I ask him to go get things, he'll just, I have to remind him, you got to go around, buddy. You got to go around. Don't draw attention to you. Us guys, I'm the same way, bro. You're just me, man. I don't care who sees me. I don't care what I look like. I had my kids got on to me about my shoes. They said my shoes did not fit my age. I walked in the room yesterday and I said, what do you think, Tate? She says, Dad.
That ain't gonna work. You know what I tell them? I don't care. I don't care what you think. I don't care if you think I look good, young, old, in between. I don't care. You know why? Because I'm not insecure. I don't deal with those things. That's not something that's in me. There are things that bother me, but generally men, we don't struggle with that. But ladies, you're worried what other people are going to think or say. That's why when you go buy clothes, you buy 30 different garments. You bring them home and you parade in front of your husband, and after the first two, they're done. You just don't know it yet. Does it look good? Does it fit right? After the third one, I don't even look. I just start saying, that's awesome. You need to go with that one right there. But you didn't even look at it. Am I right? Men, am I right? What about these shoes? Now watch this. You can go through 5 pairs of black heels at shoemart.com or whatever store you're in. They're all black heels. They're all open-toed. The only difference is where the little jewel is placed in the front of it. What about these? I don't like these. I want these over here. I don't like those. Just get a pair. Right? You get what I'm saying? And that's the same way, ladies, with the things of God. Don't live in the shadows no more. Come out and be a prophetess of God. Speak the word of God with boldness. Raise up a family that fears the Lord. Don't worry about the right words or the right atmosphere. Just be an incredible Holy Ghost filled mom. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands to the Lord. Let's give him some praise in this place. Lord, we love you. Let the mothers arise. Let the mothers arise in this house. Let the mothers arise in this house. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Turn to 2 or 3 people. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Let them know how glad you are to see them here today. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.